number two on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live on the American Freedom Radio Network with our AM/FM affiliates all across the states. And also we have Rush FM and iFinity FM who play the show in New Zealand here and on their little network. So it is going out on live and real radio to real people, ladies and gentlemen. So it's not just some kind of game that we're playing here. We're actually trying to communicate to real audiences about real issues and kind of wake them up to the realities that we are not told the truth all the time. And, well, basically, that kind of rule applies in almost every sector you look at. But it is a very good idea to look specifically at individual sectors to see the monstrumental and quantitative perpetrations of scumbaggery that absolutely destroy people's lives and the environment. Yada, yada, yada. My very special guest today is Clyde Graff, coming at us live from the Waikato. Welcome, Clyde.
Hi, Vinny.
How are you today, my friend?
Can you pick me up, Vinny?
Oh, yeah.
You got me?
Yeah, I've got you.
Okay, good, good. So what are we discussing today? TV Wild?
TV Wild. Absolutely. I'd love to hear more about it.
Well, as you're quite aware, I've been involved with the 1080 issue in New Zealand for many years. Now we've had to think of, you know, a way that we can just break away a little bit from full-on 1080 activity work to something a little bit wider scope. So we've got a new website which is focusing on outdoors, hunting, fishing, shooting, a variety of stuff. And this site uploads videos and has programs and things available for people to look at free just by signing on. And it also have competitions and prizes and a shop starting, I think, today or tomorrow as well. So it's a bit of a variety and community-type website, I suppose, with lots of action for outdoors people. So it's not just focusing on New Zealand necessarily, but also overseas as well. We're interested in hearing and seeing from people from overseas. So that's where we're going now. The new site will also have cover things like news items and whatever. So, for example, we do a lot of filming out in the outdoors of New Zealand. We also cover things like 1080 drops. So if we're filming a drop somewhere, we can now just put that those clips straight to the site and have instant access for our followers and supporters. So it's quite a good platform for that sort of thing. We also allow other, like, just general public, if they've got something that they want to upload or put onto a news site, part of the news site, well, they can do that too. So that's where we're going with that, Vinny.
Wow, man, that sounds really good. So another thing that I wanted to get in with you, Clyde, was gun legislation and the gun grabbers from the UN and all of these types of people are just trying to take firearms off everything with fingers, basically. Have you been following this much at all?
No, look, I haven't followed it much, but we're well aware of it. For example, in Australia, I remember back when I was about, this is probably going back about 26 years odd in Australia, you could go to Kmart, be over 18 and just buy a gun, rifle, whatever, over the counter. There was no legislation at all in regard to purchasing firearms. Of course, in Australia, things have got a lot more difficult now, and to the extent that as soon as there's an issue with a firearm, public outcry, the opposition jumps on and says, well, we need to ban firearms, ban, ban, ban. Of course, this doesn't really achieve anything because the people using the firearms aren't the licensed users aren't a problem at all. So as far as New Zealand goes, we're still fairly good in New Zealand, pretty reasonable with the firearm licenses and ruling and stuff. It's not that difficult to get hold of firearms if you're licensed. And in Australia, for example, you need to be part of a club, whereas in New Zealand you don't. But I think, you know, it's like everything as we progress in society, that things just get tougher and tougher in regard to firearms, and I don't think it's going to stop. So I think the main thing is that we shouldn't all be, if you're a hunter, there's nothing wrong with going out and shooting an animal for the table as long as you're doing it humanely. And I think what happens more and more now is that the alarmists out there are trying to make out that, you know, it's a cruel and the evil hunters and stuff, when really hunters are pretty much responsible people, just going out and harvesting an animal for the table. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you know, here's the thing that I find that is wrong, though. Here's an article out of Scoop Independent News from Parliament. 1,000 legislators signed declaration on arms treaty. This is from Ross Robertson, the MP for Monaco East, Clyde. And what they've done is they've got these the Control of Arms Global Parliamentary Declaration to the Arms Trade Treaty. Has now been signed by over 1,000 legislators, including 80 from New Zealand, says MP Ross Robertson. The Arms Trade Treaty seeks to ensure the responsible control, trade and export of conventional weapons. So essentially what we're doing now is, it doesn't matter what our parliament does or anything like that, a couple of MPs from our parliament can go visit and be part of a treaty deal, and that makes our legislation for us. So it matters not how good the gun legislation in our country is, Clyde. At this point, I'm starting to fear, because it seems that we won't have the ability to have our own gun legislation at all very soon, and we'll be forced
so you're
to
suggesting it's an international,
undertake global standards.
It's an international thing, is it? It's a overseeing body that will control firearm export and ownership internationally.
Yeah, it's under the Parliamentarians for Global Action, which is supported and financed by about half a very, very large small arms control lobbies that are financed by UN programs and all this kind of stuff. So it's basically, it's the same circle of characters, like a snake eating itself kind of thing, the same garbage coming from the same snake in a circle.
Yep.
And we've got 80 of our politicians at least that have signed up to this. And I think that also includes Winston Peters.
Well, I don't know how we could go. I mean, it's gone through pretty quietly, hasn't it? I suppose it's on Scoop, but we'll see where that goes.
I'm looking down at the shares here. There are no shares for that thing. It has been tweeted twice.
Right.
So, okay. Virtually nobody knows about this.
Okay. Well,
so
I don't know what
the scary part, because it's the same in every single sector that we look at. I mean, your focus is 1080, and you could sit here for literally hours and tell us about its dangers and everything like that.
Well that's
and,
right.
And here we are. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, that's, I mean, you're absolutely right there. I think that in New Zealand, there's currently a population of, what, over 4 million. Now, there's 220,000 firearm users, or licensed firearm licenses, if you like. Out of that, you've got 30,000 duck shooting licenses per annum. So there's 30,000 active bird shooters. But in regard to the firearm ownership in general, yeah, it's 220,000, so it's a fair chunk of the community that are owners of firearms. So I don't know how far they'll get with banning it, but as far as exporting and importing and that thing, I suppose no one's manufacturing guns in New Zealand, so I suppose that everything's being imported, so if they put a ban on imports, well, then I suppose it'll be a matter of years before the guns start to disappear into out of circulation. And perhaps that's what they're waiting for, a long-term move. But I haven't seen the report, Vinny, so I'll... What was the title of that report?
I've just emailed it to you, Clyde, so we'll be coming up to a break in about 10 minutes, so you could probably quickly breeze over it. It's funny, like something this important you'd expect would be everywhere, and not to mention you'd figure the article would be really big. It's a couple of paragraphs, and that's it.
Yeah, well, that's
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just find sneaky, dodgy tyranny incredibly hilarious because it's so cynical. And I find myself very cynical at times. And the real problem with being cynical is that most of the time you find out that you're correct when you're being cynical about government or international agencies or financiers or anything, really. It's quite sad. But anyway. Yeah. Speaking of, go ahead.
We've got a slow line, but in regard to just for your listeners, in regard to looking at the new website we've got, which we're running, is tbwild.co.nz. So it's tbwild.co.nz, and as I say, if there's any, that's actually one I'll put on the website too, Vinny. That news story you've just got there. That'll go onto the site and keep people informed. And what else is happening in the world of firearms in New Zealand, Vinny, if you're up to it all there?
Well, concealed carry, or rather pistol possession, I've been looking into this a little bit more lately, and it turns out in the United States with people that have concealed carries, they have been able to prevent a number of holdups, mass shootings, school shootings, to the point where they say that they prevent close to, I think 500,000 deaths or rapes or anything like that, versus the 11,000 or so people that are killed by firearms every year, and something like 2% of concealed carries ever actually wind up firing a weapon at an assailant at any point, and only about half of those are actually even firing in the direction of the assailant rather than just a warning shot. And of the half of those 2% of those, I think only 2% of them actually kill them. So it's statistically much higher that the more guns you have in your society, the less crime there is. There was even a town that had a city ordinance that everybody had to have a firearm in their home. Burglaries, assaults dropped nearly to zero. In contrast, when you have a look at, say, Washington, D.C., where they had handgun bans, the murder rate skyrocketed. And then you look at history, every single time, whether it's been the Chinese under Chairman Mao, who killed 60 million Chinese, or the Turks, who killed, I think it was 1.4 million Armenians, or Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews, or Stalin, who killed like 14 million peasants and 7 million Ukrainians. What did they all have in common? Very strict gun bans. And I think that this is the first time ever, Clyde, that we are going to see global gun bans, and it'll all be done through these treaties here. So regardless of what the news is in New Zealand, it all reflects the exact same thing that has happened all the way through history. They're trying to ban guns so that people cannot defend themselves. Once people can't defend themselves, police state, tyranny, it's on. And there'll be no way people can fight back.
Well, in New Zealand, as far as firearm users, licensed firearm users, there's only 1.5 deaths per annum is too many, but it averages out to 1.5. So it's in regard to, that's accidental shootings. In regard to firearms, people dying from other causes, I'm not sure what the statistics are there, but I'd imagine I'd say that the majority is coming from the police in defence situations. But in regard to America, well, the statistics are way different. So it's 11,000 versus 1.5 in New Zealand. It's there's not much argument to advocate for firearm bans in this country.
Well, exactly, and it's regardless, because all of these countries, they seem to have their own different rates of firearm-related violence, crimes, or whatever. But the thing that makes them all the same is how ineffective legislation is at getting weapons out of the hands of criminals who will use them for, well, shall we say, not very good purposes or lawful purposes. And the thing is, when you ban a gun, who are the people that obey that law? The criminals or the law-abiding citizens who would never use their gun for the commission of a crime anyway? What do you think, Clyde? Who's more likely to obey that gun ban law if, let's say, all the pea dealers and gang members and stuff like that that have got sawn off shotguns, government issues a gun ban law, who's the ones going to turn in their guns? Will it be those gang members, or will it be the very friendly, nice farmers and everything that keep a 22 or a 308 on the property just in case, or they want to go out possum shooting or whatever? Doesn't matter.
Well, they've had amnesties in Australia. That's exactly right. It's not the responsible firearm users. Once again, it is the crims out there that get access to the guns, and there's probably, I mean, goodness knows the number of unlicensed weapons in circulation at any time. So, yeah, banning them is not an answer. Who knows what the answer is in regard to firearm use, but hunting in New Zealand is a big pastime. It was hunting in New Zealand was an industry for many years in regard to possums trapping, possum hunting, and then of course venison recovery, deer in the mountains. So between the years of probably 1960 and 1990, you'd have what we call bush hunters wandering around the hills of New Zealand shooting deer, carrying them out and making a living off them. Helicopters were also eerily shooting them. So guns has been a big part of New Zealand, rifle use for many years. However, with the use of more and more 1080 poison and the reduction in game animals, it is getting harder to find them out there in the hills.
All right, well, I'm sorry, Clyde, we'll have to go to a break now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Clyde, if you go to your computer, I've sent you a couple of emails. We'll be right back.
But I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles. But I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me?
To the dubstepiest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from clean, green New Zealand. It's so green, in fact, that if you walk through the pristine bush, you will find bright green, shiny, incredibly poisonous tablet bait everywhere. And it's just so tasty, like cinnamon, that even your baby will love it too. My very special guest is Clyde Graff. I may be taking this not as seriously as I should. If so, sorry about that. But Clyde, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny. Now, interestingly, just talking about the 1080 issue there in New Zealand, take Wellington, Wainui Omata catchment area, which is, I think that's where the Wellington water supply comes from. That's getting about 40,000 kilos of 1080 poison dropped into its catchment around the forest, which go into the water catchment itself. Now, there's a bit of outrage because people don't really want that much deadly 1080 poison dropped into their water catchment. However, the lines being fed to the people from the government departments is simply, oh, well, this stuff breaks down, it's not an issue, you'll have to drink 2,000 litres a day to get a lethal dose, and that's that, you know. And this is going on all across New Zealand in just disregard for animal welfare and human concerns. So it's, that is a concern, and it just goes on in this country more and more. And then you've got these new legislations coming in all the time. I've just had a look at that firearms treaty thing. It's getting quite a bit of momentum by the looks of it, many involving, like you said, 47 countries, I think it is. And we'll soon be left with just a poisonous forest and nothing but back to bow and arrows or spears and running around on horseback, I think.
You know what, Clyde? I think The Hunger Games is very prophetic, don't you?
I haven't seen The Hunger Games, so I'll have to have a little look at it, but I know there's a bit of archery in there, and, well, that's probably the way it's going.
Well, you know what's interesting, Clyde? A whole lot of archery places around the country have experienced an enormous swelling in the numbers of interest. And you know what that tells me? How well susceptible this entire country is to the suggestion of even fictional characters, let alone the fictional character of the possum.
Oh, it's deadly. It's got tuberculosis. It's turning our New Zealand bush into a wasteland. Let's dump it with the most toxic chemical known to man that every single country has banned outdoor use for.
Well, that's right. We're very naive in this country, and in regard to just speaking of the possum and the TB, I see the Animal Health Board here has responded to some comments posted on that poison drop that's about to happen in Wellington, and the AHB are stating, well, you know, we've got evidence, DNA evidence that, you know, the TB in a possum has been found in this particular cow from a particular area. So they're saying, what they're suggesting is that the possums are giving the TB, bovine TB, I might add, which is cow TB, to the cow. So they're saying the possum is giving it to the cow. But in fact, this is another case of trying to hoodwink the public. You see, the public read that and say, oh my goodness, that's outrageous. When in reality, it is the cow giving the bovine tuberculosis to a possum. Now, there's never been an outbreak of bovine tuberculosis in wild possums in New Zealand ever. In fact, it's rare to get a possum with TB. It's very rare to find one. And when they do find one, when I say they, the Animal Health Board, it's almost a time for a party because it's another excuse to blame the possum. If you want to get rid of TB in New Zealand, destroy the farms or destroy the animals on the farms in an area that has TB and turn it into a park, a forest, whatever. And in several years, the TB issue will be gone. I believe that's what they do in Canada. Don't mark me on that, but I think they've tried that in Canada. If there's TB in an area, close the farm, turn it into a forestry or whatever, and the TB will disperse and eventually be gone. But TB's big business in New Zealand, Vinny. Big business. And that's not, you know, the Animal Health Board stated several years back that they were sort of looking at winding up their TB program in about 2013, 2014. That's just about up. So what they're doing now is they're saying, we're going to extend that to 2030. And that's probably about when most of them are retired. So it should just see those guys right.
But, can I ask, do they also include in all of this, you know, special mentions that they're, like, immune from prosecution or anything of that nature?
Well, I think in this country, politicians and those that are involved with government departments are immune to prosecution. There is something that there was a bill or something like that going through, I believe, where, oh, no, beg your pardon, it's coming from the UK. It's called, what's it called? Eradicating Ecocide, which is, who's doing that now? Eradicating Ecocide. What she's doing over there, it's a UK lawyer. She's trying to bring in pass an international treaty where the governments or the government departments that are involved in ecocide, like 1080 use in New Zealand, are responsible, held responsible down the track. So, and she's progressing really well on that. That's going through to, I think they're trying to get that through into the United Nations. But you know, things like that take a lot of, have a lot of resistance, obviously, because you've got to get past the bureaucrats. But it's a very real thing, this ego side, and they are immune, certainly in this country. They just come, lay their eggs and fly off, set themselves up, you know, for a
now,
nice
now, here's
retirement.
The other thing that... that I worry about. I mean, it's going into the water catchment areas, and I think it was either you or your brother Steve that told me that that 1080, when it gets into a water supply, you're consuming it. It's an endocrine disruptor, and that can start having effects on you if it's even if the water's one part per trillion or something like that.
Well, no, it's not a known endocrine disruptor, from what I understand. It is a hormone. It's a suspected hormone disruptor. It is a male reproductive toxin. Now, these are all issues that are being ignored in this country. Health issues are being ignored. If you Google 1080 New Zealand and health, all you'll see is you'll have to drink, you know, if it was in the water, you'll have to drink 2,000 litres to die. You'll have to eat two cattle beasts if it was in the cattle beast. So they're only focusing on the acute poisoning. Not the chronic poisoning. The chronic poisoning is an issue because, for example, if you're a lady and you're pregnant and you just get a minute dose, as you're saying, parts per billion, parts per trillion even, is what some of the scientists are suggesting, that can have an impact on the on your baby, unborn baby. So there's
there was
no
a story,
research being done into this.
I ran into a lady outside a meeting at Devonport, I think. You remember when all those dogs and everything was dying around Rangitoto, incidentally at around the exact same time when they were dumping bait pellets all over it. And the lady outside, I think one of the women got thrown out because she threw one of her tumours at the guy from the government, from the dock representative. And the lady who walked out with us, she has come from the Waikato downriver from where they'd had a 1080 drop. And there was something like seven babies in that small town that were born with extra holes in the boys' penises and things like this. It was quite horrific.
There's a lot of anecdotal evidence that 1080 is harmful coming from rural areas in New Zealand. That's why in those rural areas where the people are getting the most poison dropped around them are protesting and are concerned. As the mayor of Hokitika pointed out, that even if 1080 wasn't harming these people physically, it's certainly harming them emotionally, because you know it's the case of, well, you can become quite sick by just even worrying about this poison being dropped around your homes and into your water supplies. The thing is, for people that are interested, they could find a link to Poisoning Paradise, which will show covers all the issues with regard to 1080 poisoning, and it's quite interesting. It is made in the US, Alabama. It's the only manufacturer of 1080 in the world, and New Zealand does import the most 1080 out of any country in the world at 90%, around 90% of world supply. So we're certainly going through it.
And you can find that video, ladies and gentlemen, at my YouTube channel, which is at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and GorillaMedia.co.nz. The name of the YouTube channel is Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, and the name of the documentary is Poisoning Paradise. It's in full quality. I ripped it off the DVD myself. Thanks, Clyde.
No problem. And
uploaded it there for everybody to see. And you did an earlier documentary as well called A Shadow of Doubt?
That's right. The Shadow of Doubt we did. That was our first attempt, if you like it, presenting the issue of 1080 in New Zealand, because up until then, the only view of the use of 1080 poison was being presented by the Department of Conservation and the users of 1080. There was no other side of the story. So we went out and filmed some poison drops and found the dead deer and talked to the farmers and people that have had experiences with 1080 and put that together onto A Shadow of Doubt. We interviewed Animal Health Board, Forest and Bird, which is an organisation, you know, for, advocating for birds and forests, obviously, and gave these guys the opportunity to have their say. The Shadow of Doubt was a soft approach. It wasn't pointing any fingers at anyone. It just went about just to just show what was going on a little bit. And we were pretty naive with the whole thing ourselves, going a lot, learning as we went along. Then in 2007, the government, IRMA was called, Environmental Risk Management Authority, investigated the use of 1080 and allowed it to have be continued. So after that, we were filming in the Kahurangi National Park in the South Island and came across a weka. A weka is a endemic, native endemic, meaning nowhere else in the world, bird feeding on a possum carcass. And we had no idea that the weka was a scavenger, a carnivorous or a omnivorous scavenger of carcasses and meat, and etc. And here's this bird. So we got the shock of our lives. We filmed and photographed it and decided, crikey, we better get back into this investigation into 1080 poison use in New Zealand, because these carcasses are left to rot all around the hillsides, through the forests, after a poison drop. Now, the thing about 1080 is it continues to poison. It causes secondary poisoning. So the thing that feeds on that gets poisoned. And in the UK, in the US, the manufacturer's label states all carcasses and unused baits must be picked up and burned or buried deeply. But in New Zealand, they tell us, our authorities tell us, well, we don't have any mammals over here. We don't have any teeth, so we don't have to worry about picking up carcasses. Well, of course, we have the kea. The kea is the only carrion-eating parrot in the world. It's endangered. And yet it loves to eat 1080 baits, and it also eats the dead possum carcasses and deer carcasses that are left around the forest around here. There's also the weka. There's moorpork, which is an owl, a native owl. They eat the rats that die. You've got pukeko, which is a swamp-type bird. It also eats carrion. So as far as trying to hoodwink the public again, telling them, oh, no, we don't need to worry about picking up carcasses or baits, it's once again a lie. It's as simple as that. It's a lie. And that there seems to be no concern for the welfare of our wildlife. Even if it's not killing our wildlife, which it is, but if it's not, even if the sublethal doses we're not killing through secondary poisoning, you're still putting their reproductive possibilities at risk and for future generations of those species. So it just seems grossly irresponsible, and you just keep shaking your head and wonder why they keep persisting with this stuff and dropping it.
Hypothetically, Clyde, hypothetically, let's say they're doing it intentionally, and all these bad effects is exactly what the people who are sanctioning this, financing it, and covering it up, and brainwashing people in the media is exactly what they want. What kind of person would we be looking at?
A terrorist? I don't know.
Well, see, this is the thing.
I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are and what their agenda is. I don't know. I mean,
well,
you can't
hit
help
it
but
on
wonder.
The head there. You actually hit it on the head there, because terrorism is a system of government. You look it up in the dictionary, that's what it is. And it uses fear to and coercion tactics to rule people. That's what the system of terrorism is as a government. And that sounds exactly how so much of our legislation gets put in place. 1080, asset sales, the whole lot. Everything seems to be all lumped together. Everybody gets made afraid, and then they passively accept it because they are told that there's no alternative. Clyde Graff is my guest from thegraffboys.com. That's Graff with an F, not a PH, because he's not that acidic. We'll be right back after the break.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face.
All the little back's turned. They dropped 1080 all over the back of my place.
Without a trace. Oh, no, no.
The lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, most of which from government, if you go, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. Clyde Graff is my very special guest, and also I'd like to thank our sponsors, Coca-Bismol. It's a mixture of Coca-Cola and Pepto-Bismol. It soothes your stomach as it eats it away. And also, we want to mention our other... Yes, I know, that's very funny. And we also want to mention our other sponsors, the Department of Conservation, otherwise known as DOC, who are just on the horn to, and they've agreed to hold an anti-tuberculosis fundraiser. And what we're going to do is it's going to be the New Zealand helicopter tour of Dame Edna, sponsored by DOC. And she'll be accompanying the 1080 drop pilots in an attempt to attract the required targets into the drop zone by yelling out, "Hello, possums!" Clyde Graff is my guest. Welcome back. Clyde, are you there?
Sorry, Vinny. I just heard you say that. That's quite funny. Look... Something we're working on at the moment, because the in regard to the 1080 use in New Zealand, it's a you're fighting a hard battle. You know, it's a big bureaucracy. It's entrenched, and it's more of a philosophy and a religion than anything now in the country. So we're going along the lines of doing T-shirt campaigns over the next few months, where it'll be more humorous. For example, one of the subjects will be on the back of the T-shirt. There'll be a possum, and it's hugging a kiwi and holding an umbrella at the same time as a chopper passes over with the 1080 pellets. that's the sort of line we're taking now, a bit more humorous, not really pointing anything at anyone in particular, for example, DOC or AHB, but just making the point of what's really going on. Another one will be something like the Last Supper. So there'll be a group of wildlife sitting around a table, and there'll be 1080 pellets there, and the kiwi will be up the head of the table, and he'll be pointing out, "This is the Last Supper." that's sort of the lines we're going to be looking at going down next, in conjunction with the new TV Wild website. So, we're just hitting a brick wall all the time, it seems, over here.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a testament to the strength of the human spirit that no matter how many brick walls you put in front of us, we keep smashing straight through them. Have you noticed? It doesn't matter how long it takes. Eventually, the good guys manage to win. What's interesting now, though, is I'm starting to see movements relating to everything that the bad guys are doing, propping up in opposition to them, you know? They start selling the assets, somebody starts opposing it. They start dropping 1080, somebody starts opposing it. Everything, everywhere that's bad, that's happening right now on this earth, has somebody doing something about it. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I think a lot has to do with the internet now, doesn't it? Because the internet, until I think Google or whatever, whoever they are that will control it and censor what's going through the internet, you've got a lot more freedom of information. So people can access it a lot quicker. They can get around. They can be in touch with America, for example, instantly. Whereas, you know, you look back 20 years ago, and you'd have to get on the old blower to get in touch with someone in the US, and apart from being expensive, you know, it's a time thing. So I think the internet has been an amazing tool, if you like, for, you know, getting people on board and getting interested and informed.
Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, Clyde, if you wanted to publish your Wild TV episodes on YouTube or anything like that, you know, I'll upload the episodes to my channel for you if you like. I can just give you the login and password. You can just upload them direct from your computer.
Right, good as gold.
Yeah, give people access, eh? Because I think part of this fight that we're all fighting, Clyde, is something that you're, I believe you're probably at the head on more than a lot of New Zealanders, actually, bush culture and bush life, getting food out of there, as well as enjoying it and preserving it. Because what I see happening now is that food prices are going up substantially, whilst at the same time this 1080 is killing off all the wildlife. So any wild food that people might go to, if food gets way too expensive or, heaven forbid, even starts to run out, has already been eradicated, and it'll leave people 100% dependent on the government.
Yes, it is. That's another possibility or scenario that pops up quite a bit here, and that is that, yeah, as you say, up until now, you know, you could just whip out the back and get yourself a deer or a pig, you know, and have a nice Sunday roast. And now, of course, a lot of the areas, well, at least half the country, has had 1080 poison dropped across it, and you don't know what you're eating there. The numbers, as you say, the wildlife is dropping right back. And food prices, definitely, it's getting more expensive by the year here. There's no question about that. Where's it going to come from? So I think you better start saving, Vinny, and get yourself your private block and fence it off and try and keep Department of Conservation and those guys away.
What am I going to do, Clyde? Get surface-to-air missile batteries? I mean, you can't keep these people away. I mean, you and I both know that even when farmers' land is, like, right close to the bush, they'll just drop 1080 pellets all through it anyway, and their dogs die and all that kind of stuff. These people don't have any respect. There is nowhere to escape anymore, Clyde. That's the worst part of it.
No, that is true. That's the way it is, and they've got the power to do that, go over your property whether you like it or not. I don't know, Vinny, but I think if everyone does their little bit rather than become too complacent, you know, we might just last for a few more years.
I'm not interested in lasting. I'm interested in thriving. I mean, here's another thing. Solutions, Clyde. How can we actually bring the life that's been destroyed back to the bush? I mean, what's the best viable alternative to the current 1080? I mean, just not having the 1080, that's a better alternative than having the 1080, yes? But what's even better than that?
Well, what's working at the moment, for example, is a test case or a case where 50,000 hectares of forest is being managed without the use of aerial 1080. They're using trapping methods to catch possums and stoats, and that's in the Yirrawarra National Park, and it's working. DOC are involved with that, from what I understand, as well. It seems that is the answer. Target your areas. Target the pest that you're after, not the entire ecosystem, and that's all we're advocating for. We're not suggesting that if people don't want to trap a possum or a stoat or a rat, that they shouldn't do it. But we would like to see more truth out there. For example, the possum has been, for the last 20 years, the big, as you were saying earlier, the big fear. It was the fear of the possum. You know, the possum is stripping New Zealand bush, is what we were told. Of course, it's utter nonsense. It's a blatant lie. Possums aren't stripping the bush anywhere. And
is there an argument... Is there any argument that possums are actually beneficial to the bush at all?
Yes, there is an argument that the possum's beneficial to the bush. In fact, the possum replaces some other species that may have become extinct over years, but the possum is responsible for around 20 to 25% of total seed rain. So, in fact, the possum's doing benefit there. 70% of seed rain for some species. So the possum is spreading seeds. Okay, so the seeds aren't destroyed in the gut of the possum. We're told in this country, day after day, practically, the possums are ravaging birds. Well, 1,600 possum guts were ripped open by scientists, and they were desperately searching for bird matter, vertebrate matter. none was found. They did another little study of about 40 and found a little bit of greenfinch in one gut. But that's 1,600, over 1,600 possums, and no evidence of birds. The possums aren't. The fact is they're not out there ravaging the nests. And yet, Department of Conservation, the Animal Health Board, will produce a little scratchy old video of this possum, you know, running out of a hole because it's being chased out by a kiwi, and make it look like the possum is attacking a kiwi.
Been eating,
you know,
the eggs.
It's propaganda. It's that simple. The possum is a resource, even if you like, in New Zealand, rather than just kill them and waste them. They're valuable to be used for industry.
Are they in any way like prolific breeders? I mean, is there even a likelihood that they'll go out of control?
In this country, you've got people. We've gone to meetings in this country to show our documentary. We came across people saying that possums are breeding fast and they're exploding, and a lot of the city folk aren't aware about the breeding of a possum. The truth is, the possum has one young per year, just one. They don't explode in numbers. Now, it is on rare occasions, and it's very rare, a possum will have twins, but they breed once a year, that's it. When we hear in this country that Department of Conservation, AHB, they do a poison drop and they say they've killed 99% of the possums, 2 years later they say, the possums have exploded, they're back, right? Population's too big.
And they're just lying. Oh, sorry, Clyde, we've come to the end of the show. I'm sorry, Clyde, we've come to the end of the show. TheGraphBoys.com, ladies and gentlemen, TheGraphBoys.com. Clyde, thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.
TheGraphBoys.org.
Oh, thank you.